Growing up as one of only three Indian kids at school and struggling to fit in, Sunil Badami was called a lot of things: curry muncher, towel head, and a lot worse. Oh, that such incidents were things of the past, but not so. It still goes on. I heard about one such name calling the other day and how it caused such confusion and distress for an Australian child. India may have been home for mum and dad, but he was born here. So why isn't he an Aussie? Why is he a curry muncher? And he had to decide how to deal with it. So he made the choice to divide the name callers into two groups: those who were just ignorant and actually weren't aiming to harm, and the racist bullies. And he will calibrate his reaction accordingly. Isn't that a tough lesson to learn at school? So just an aside: tell your kids that kind of name calling by anyone is never okay. And do me a favour, check in with them in case they think it's funny. Anyway, back to Sunil and his name. And despite his mother's excellent advice about what to do when being called names, there was one that really got under his name, his skin, his own name, until he discovered what it really meant.
Okay, boy, that's close. That time he's got him playing back. The Indian captain not happy, saying he may have hit that.
I've been called a lot of things. Especially growing up, being one of only three Indian kids at school, apart from my brother and a squeaky-voiced boy whose name escapes me now.
Kerridge, Rebecca Ives, Russell Coghill, Jeffrey Johnson, Daniel Warrior, Charlotte Peters and Mary Peters.
Curry muncher, towel head, abbo, coon, boong, darky, gollywog, black. Followed by any suitable or just thunk-up epithet. Often all at once, accompanied by a Chinese burn or dead leg. My mother would always say, "Stones and sticks and such like can only shake your skeletons. Just rise over it." Which was even more irritating than if it had been said correctly. She was right, though. After being called anything and everything enough times, I stopped wincing, even for dead legs. But the one thing that always got under my skin was my own name. My mother and Indian relatives pronounce it Sunil. My own broad accent makes it Sunil. Sunil, Sunil, Sanil, I've heard them all. Sunil, like senile, or that old playground favourite. Sunil, like banana peel. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, how many rupees would that make? Naturally, growing up, I didn't want to be a nignog, a coon, a darky. I didn't feel black anything. I just wanted to fit in. "Why don't you wash the black off, you dirty black bastard?" playground wits would yell. And sometimes their parents too, although always with an affectionate chuckle. Perhaps if you wash hard enough, it'll come off. And I did once too, scrubbing my right arm with the floor brush till tiny spots of blood started weeping into the sink, discovering nothing but an angry redness blooming beneath. "We're all pink on the inside, aren't we?" the day nurse at my mother's surgery said kindly, as though it was some kind of consolation, despite rubbing me with stingy alcohol. Still, I always wondered how Michael Jackson had ever managed it. My father, who'd run off with one of the nurses at his hospital, hated Indians. He thought they were vulgar and ill-mannered, unlike him and his new wife, who'd never been to India. "Uncle uncles and auntie aunties," he called them, laughing at the way we called them uncle or auntie, laughing even harder at their flared trousers and flat feet spilling out of sandals after his new wife had thrown out his flares and sandals and bought him a fashionable new Western wardrobe. Still, he had to have rice and my stepmother's watery clive of Indian dal once a week, but only once a week, because according to her, curry stank the house out. She was a formidable housekeeper, probably more pathological than formidable. And their house always seemed too neat to be alive. The magazines at right angles to the coffee table edges. The paintings all the same blurry pastel. Everything reeking of furniture spray and air freshener. My mother's house, on the other hand, was always messy, always redolent of the trinity that jostles you when you enter an Indian home. Not Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva, but Asafoetida, cumin and incense. And there was always a crowd in our house after my father left. All part of the same little South Indian clique who'd known each other since medical school, bearing saris, curries, sympathy and gossip. On hot, interminable Sunday afternoons, everyone would gather in our house for lunch. The aunties in the kitchen, all talking frantically and loudly in English, Hindi, Kannada, Konkani, every sentence a masala of different vocabularies about the one thing that interested them the most, their children.
Rahul has come first in his class, He has state rank. Sangeeta is champion of tennis club, When's she getting married, I know a boy.
When they weren't clucking over their children, they'd analyse their names' meanings.
Abhay
meant fearless.
Gurangi,
wheatish complexion.
Rajesh,
king of the gods or god of kings.
Padma,
lotus. As to
Rajiv, Pushpa and Arvind.
Flower power babies, my mother joked. There were two boys, the Balgis, whose names were Jason and Andrew. I couldn't believe their luck. Sure, they looked Indian, but nobody ever got their names wrong. Even my little brother had a Western name, Monty. His real name was Sumant, but when he was born, I was too young to say it properly. Mont became Monty. I stayed senile. But if Sumant was Monty, why couldn't I be, Neil? Neil. I liked it. It sounded like an astronaut's name.
Altitude 1.2 miles, velocity 1,500 feet per second.
It sounded grown up. We'd just started cursive writing at school and I'd practiced my new name for hours. Neil. Neil Badami. The Neilster. I told people to call me Neil and nobody laughed like they did when I told them my other name. Neil seemed to fit their mouths better, and I could feel their approval at the effort I was making to fit in. Still couldn't catch a cricket ball, though I was working on it. At home, I was Sunil, trying not to eat my dal with my left hand, trying to get my mouth around tongue-twisting Venkateshwara bhajans at morning puja. In the real world, in the brilliant universe of my imagination, I was Neil. I fitted in. I scored a double century in the Ashes. I could fly, dropping water bombs on playground bullies called Wesley and Boyd. Neil, like unreal.
Three balls gone in the over and has taken the bowler to task.
Seven.
Three straight fours in
Seven.
A row. Bowler in a bit of trouble.
Three.
And he comes.
One. Zero.
We have it.
And we have liftoff at 2:13.
This is
Mission Control here. We appear to have a good first stage at this point.
This is Neil Badami. One small step for boy, one giant leap for mankind. Which would have been fine until the afternoon my best friend Kieran started laughing about Neil trying to catch the ball Mark Keary had belted for six past the shelter sheds at lunch. Despite Neil frantically trying to shush him in the back seat. "Who's this Neil?" my mother asked. Then, seeing everything from the rearview mirror, saying nothing. Even Kieran got it as the car swelled with a hot, thick silence. "See you, Neil, mate," he said, scrambling out of the car. That silence bubbled all the way home, the steam threatening to burst. And I knew, as all children do, it's when your mother doesn't shout that you're in really big trouble. When we got home, my mother sent Monty out to play, then sat me down in the kitchen. "What is this?" she said, handing me a bowl of curds and sugar that somehow didn't taste quite as sweet as always. "Changing your name? Being a Neil?" She spat out my unreal new name like something bitter and stringy, too difficult to swallow. "Oh, it's just that I hate it. Sunil. It's too hard to say. It's too Indian." My mother looked out the window at the bare grassy backyard, the burnt tips of the grass, unmowed since Dad left, barely flickering in the yellow heat. The shy tops of the mango tree she'd planted peeking out over the weedy ruins. "But Sunil is a beautiful name." "What's it mean, then?" I asked. In all the times I'd snuck into the kitchen and heard snatches of the name game, I'd never heard my name being explained. I knew heaps of Rajas, loads of Madhus, but nobody else with my name. Apart, of course, from Sunil Gavaskar, the famous Indian cricket player. Something lit up in her eyes, faint but fierce. She took both my arms, holding them tight with her pinchy fingers. "Sunil, beautiful name. You know Lord Shiva, god of destruction?" I nodded, a little afraid. Like fearful black Kali, Shiva frightened me, with his unkempt hair, draped in leopard skins, a snake writhing around his neck, his turbulent temper reminding me of my father. Why couldn't our family worship Krishna, always laughing, always up to mischief? But my mother was warming up to it, the explanation of my name. "And where does Lord Shiva live?" "On top of Mount Everest," I murmured.
"Yes, highest mountain in the world. The world, in India. Indian mountain. And Sunil is breeze that blows at sunset on Shiva's birthday once every 1,000 years, blowing snow from his head top into ice cave below, where the snow melts and flows down mountain and becomes what?"
"I don't know."
"Only holy Ganga, only." She slapped my thigh, looking triumphant. "And you want to change this name to be a Neil?"
She flicked her wrist in that contemptuous way only Indians can.
"Kneel is what you do in temple to gods. You want to kneel for everyone else too? Sunil is best name ever. Sunil is name I wanted my firstborn son to have. And you? Who are you? What are you? You should be proud."
She smiled and sat back. I shifted a little under the weight of that, but it seemed to fit. As did my name, even though it might take some growing into.
"So?"
my mother said after I'd finished my curds. "It's a good name, I guess," I said, smiling a little.
"Best name," she cried. "First class name."
"Sure." I didn't want to concede too much. If I allowed she was right this time, I'd hear about it for a long time to come. Like most Indian mothers, she had an elephant-like memory for recipes, relations, festivals, and for being right. I could be living this down for years. Even if I still found it hard to tie my Indian appearance to my Australian feeling, I didn't worry so much about my name anymore. No matter how people said it, I didn't wince. I knew what it meant. And when someone kindly said, "Sunil, that's an interesting name. What's that mean then?" I'd usually proudly oblige, although I did once reply, Only if you tell me what Barabara means. And although I hated to admit it then, my mother was right. I was proud. Even when, after finding out where I was really from, people tried their terrible Peter Sellers Birdie Num Num impersonations. Even when they made snide remarks about immigrants on the train, more than pointedly loud enough for us to hear. Even though no matter how deliberately I said my name, they still mangled it. It didn't matter. I knew what it meant, and what it meant to my mother. Every time someone mispronounced my singular name, I saw Shiva, serene and powerful on his distant peak, flesh-coloured breeze blowing the Ganges out of his hair. Years later, in a Bangalore bookshop, my future wife, or Yepril to my Indian relatives, came across a book of Indian children's names. "Do you think you're in here?" she asked. "Are you joking?" I replied. "I bet there's like a whole chapter or something, what with Mount Everest, the ice cave, Shiva's birthday, the Ganges and all that." It was a thick book with lots of names, lots of which meant lotus. Wading through Sujat and Sujit, past Sukwant and Sumitra, Sunam and Sunay, we finally got to Sunil. It wasn't a paragraph, let alone a chapter. Just two little words. Dark one.
What's the difference between me and you? No, she didn't. Sunil Badami, growing up in Australia. That's our theme today.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.